Good morning, everybody. This past week, we learned a bit of the sugya of Chanut Shel Nachtumim Tachat HaOtzar. This sugya has several nafkaminas and ramifications, not only in the field of Shechinim, but also in the field of Yoredeo, as we might see, in the field of Or HaChaim, regarding Kiddush. So we'll see how this affects that as well. But mainly, since we're learning Shechinim, so we have to also learn the nafkaminas and ramifications that the words of the Rishonim here have to do with things they do inside your house. Can you barbecue inside your house and the smoke could somehow affect your neighbor? Can you smoke in your backyard and the smoke will come up? Also regarding the issues of noise, Rav Yidan said that in his experience living in the kibbutz, so he had a neighbor that woke up very early, probably for Daf Yomi, I assume, and he had an alarm clock. Sorry? To milk the cows and learn Daf Yomi with the cows, maybe. And he woke up very early, and his alarm clock woke Yidan up every morning. And so is this okay? Is this not okay? So, and part of these things come up after learning the Rishonim of our sugya. So let's see how it goes. So I'll just remind us in the source number one, that we're still dealing with the machlokas of Abaye and Rava. Can a person put a pit near the yard, near the chutzah of his neighbor, close to the meitzar, before that they have any things that will be damaged on that side? Abaye says that you're allowed to do that. Rava says you're not allowed to do that, enosomech, because maybe it could somehow affect his land. And the Gemara is giving a bunch of tashmas, giving rise to here, to there. And this tashma is a kashya for Rava, saying in source number two, tashma, lo yiftach adam chanut shel nachtumim veshel tzabaim tachat otzaro shel chavero velo refet bakar. A person shouldn't open a shop for bakers or a shop for painters because it will somehow affect the otzar, which is above him. Otzar is a place where he stores his tvuah, his oil, his wine. And he also can't open a refet bakar, also something that concerns the kibbutz. And the Gemara says, Tama de'ika otzar, only because beforehand there was the otzar that will be now damaged once you open it. Haleika otzar avi, but if the otzar is not there yet, so you're allowed to open those things, although that it might damage it in the future. You're allowed to open it now because it's not damaging now. So it's a kashya according to Rava, because Rava says that you're not allowed to do something that could damage in the future. So how is it here that you're allowed to open it before it's there? So the Gemara answers, Dira Shani. Dira Shani. There's something special regarding a dira. Soon we'll see that there's machlokas. We showed him how to explain these words, dira shani. We'll get into it in a moment. Beforehand, I want to learn what is the damage that is caused by the chanut shel nachtumim, by the shop of the bakers, the shop of the tzabeim. What kind of damage does it do to the atzar above him? What is the damage? So Rashi says in source number three, otzar aliyah shotzri batvua v'shemen v'yain v'ha'ashan kasher lehem. Rashi says, what is the damage here? What is the nezek? The nezek here is the ashan. It's the smoke that's coming from your shop, and it somehow affects the tvuah, the shemen, and the yain above you, in the atzar above you. This is the damage, ashan. Tosfos asks the question, how can you say it's ashan? Source number four, Pirash Kuntres, Rashi explains, Mishum she'ashan kasher la'otzar, that the smoke is somehow damaging the otzar. V'kasher la'rabinu tam, delekaman amar b'yayin hetiru she'mashbicho. How can you say that the damage here is because of the smoke? Because we see in the Gemara, another two dapim, that if the otzar is an otzar of yain, it is okay. Because whatever's happening in your chanut shel nachtumim, it's not damaging the wine, but rather it's mashbiach the wine, it's improving the wine. And then says Tosfot, it can't be ashan. The ashan v'day mazik layayin. It can't be that the ashan, the smoke, is being mashbiach the wine, is improving the wine. The hayayin meushan pasul nesachim, because we know in the laws, all of us learned kotchim, of course, several times, and yayin meushan pasul nesachim, that you cannot use a wine which is smoked for nesachim. So you see, it's not good for the wine, because if it was good for the wine, it wouldn't have been pasul for nesachim. So you see from here that ashan has to damage wine. So how can you say that 1 second. So how can you say that here, when the Gemara says that they permitted when the Otsar is for wine, because the Ashan is improving it? It's not improving it. It's mazik. So it can't be that the problem here is the smoke. It's not the smoke. So first of all, practically speaking, technically speaking, if you're under a full floor under this otsar, so it has a ceiling that separates between you, and the smoke can't get there and damage it. So what is the damage here that happens here? Shahevel mazik et otsar. That once you have inside your chanut shenachtomim, you have all these things, you have the furnace and everything, so the hevel, the heat that comes from your floor, that's what is mazik the otsar. That is what is damaging the otsar, the hevel, the heat. But not the ashan. Aval et hayayin mashbiach. But the heat doesn't damage the wine, but it somehow improves the wine. So Tosfot says that it can't be that we're dealing here with a nezek from smoke. It has to be a nezek from the hevel, from the heat. That's what Tosfot says, and he says it opposed to Rashi. The Ramban also understood like Rashi. He understood like Rashi, saying that the damage here is the damage of smoke. But then he asked himself the question, the same question that Tosfot asks in source number 5. Ike lemeidak, how can I say that we're dealing here with Ashan? And the Gemara says that when it's Ashan under the wine, it is okay because it's Mashbiach. It's not true. Smoke is not good for wine. The yayin mu'sham pasur nesachim. You see that wine, that smoke doesn't improve wine. It's not good smoke wine. It somehow damages it. Maybe the Gemara Menaches is dealing with this special wine. It's like the wine of Rav Yosef that was very, very gentle, that even a candle under it damaged it. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be clear. But so then it gives a different answer. Inami, why is it that there's no kashya from Menaches that smoked wine is possible for Nesachim? You want to know? It is good. But Yain Mushal is possible for Nesachim for a different reason. Not because it damaged the wine and it turned it to a bad and less of a high quality wine. Inami, Yain Mushal is possible for Nesachim, lo mipnei shenifgam, ela mipnei shenishtana. The thing is, no, the wine is puzzle for Nesachim, not because it's now somehow damaged, because it's now changed. The smoking of the wine turned the wine to something else. It could be a better wine, a much even better wine, but since it changed to something else, once it has this transformation, it becomes something different, nishtana. So from that moment, it's no longer kosher for Nesachim, and it's puzzle for Nesachim. It also seems away from the one in Bechoros, and also he says, Teda, you should know. Shahare af yain nevushal pasul nachim. Also, mevushal wine, yain that is cooked, that is heated, is also possible for nesachim. Kedeita neser menachot. V'yesh rayot sheino ela mashbiach. You cannot learn from the criteria for a wine for nesachim, whether the wine is a good wine or a bad wine, because yain mevushal, yain which is cooked, it could very much be that the wine is a very good wine. It's been better and improved, but it's still possible for Nesachim because it changed. And once the wine is changed, now it's no longer kosher for Nesachim. So it could be, he says, that the wine is improved by the smoke, and we're dealing here with smoke, and because of that, you don't have you're allowed to open a chanut shenachtomim, all these things that have smoke, and if the otsar above you is wine, so it is okay. By the way, with what he says, that yayin mevushal the reason why it's puzzled, because it changed, so I think it also has ramifications regarding yei nesach. We all know that a goy cannot touch your wine, there's a problem of yei nesach, but once the wine is mevushal, so it is okay. So the poskim are asking, how much does it have to be cooked in order to be considered mevushal? Today, I assume, the poskim say that a large majority of the wines are pasteurized.
That's a major
It's a major machlokes, whether what? Very good. So I want to just mention that Igros Moshe says that pasteurized, according to halacha, liquid, which is mevushal, is already yad sonedet bo. It could be maybe 45 degrees, maybe 79 degrees, if you want to be more mekel, it depends if you're kula lechumla, but pasteurizing is definitely more than that. So once the wines are pasteurized, it is okay. Rav Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach says, no, it has to, in order for wine to be considered mevushal, it has to be different, it has to be changed. Only wine which is changed, as the Ramban says, it has to be somehow somewhat transformed, and has to be some kind of a procedure of change, only then it's considered to be mevushal. And he says that happens only after 100 degrees. Regular pasteurization, if you'll taste it, is the exact same taste as wine which is not pasteurized. There's no change. So because of that, he says, pasteurized is not considered to be yain mevushal. Just an interesting comment regarding the idea of the wine that has to be changed in order to be considered mevushal. We're going to see regarding the damages of smoke, and there's a difference if it's a shantadir or not tadir, if it's frequently, if it's a long time, if it's a short time. So regarding smoke, we do see this thing. I assume that if you have a chanut, a shop of nachtomim and things like that, we're dealing with things that are for consistently for a very long time. So once it's mutar, it's mutar. So again, so Ramban says there's no kashya from the Gemara saying that the smoke is good for wine from the inyan nisachim, because you want to know why for nisachim it's possible, not because it's still of a less quality. It is because shenishtana, it became different. It has some kind of shinui. It was transformed. Because of that, it is okay. This is the explanation of the Ramban. Why did the Tosfot not say like the Ramban? Why did the Tosfot say that maybe that Yain Mevushal, the reason why it's possible for Nesachim, it's because Shenishtana, it has some kind of transformation, some kind of Shinui. So the Porat Yosef, one of the commentaries in the back of the Gemara, so he says, why didn't Tosfot say like the Ramban? Devishtama Mevushal Nishtana. You're right. Yai mevushal is possible, not because it's less of a quality, but it's because of a shinui. But you can't say the same thing about ishun, about smoking. Kmo de ashkechan gabe bishul koti. De vishul nikra nishtana. Aval meushan lo nikra nishtana. Kmo de bishul koti mutar. Ela kochachad pesum shnishtana legreuta. Says, Barat Yosef, the reason why Tosfot can't say that smoking something is possible because shenishtana, because it became something else, because we see in the laws of Bishulei Nochri, as we all know, there's a lacha, that even if a goy cooks you kosher food, he has kosher ingredients, and he cooks for you kosher food, you cannot eat from his cooking, because he cooked it, there's a Bishul Nochri, there are two reasons, either he might give you something usher to eat, or because you might get too close with him, there's a chashash of chatness. The Shulchan Aruch says, and it's also based on the Gemara, in source number 7, that it's only a problem of Bishul Nochri, only when it's cooked, only when he cooks it using fire. But if he does ishun, if he is smoking the food, so in that case, there's no problem of bishulei nochi. It's not considered cooking. It's not considered that the food now transformed from one thing to another thing, and it's not as much of an effect of preparing something for you. And because of that, there's no problem of bishulei nochi when there is ishun. So because of that, says the Porat Yosef, Tosfot can say that ishun is possible for nesochim because shenishtana, because the thing is changed, because ishun is not considered to be changed. Ishun is not considered to be changed. This week, the Rebbe asked me regarding Basav Chalav. I checked it out. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Sivan Pei Zayin, Zivav, that also regarding Basav Chalav, if you smoke Basav Chalav together, so it's Asur, Midirabanan, but this is not the derisive prohibition of Basav Chalav, because it's not considered to be a Shinui. So the same thing that it's not a Shinui regarding Bishulei Nochri, Ishun, it has to be only by fire. So the same thing also here. By the way, just since we're discussing a bit of Bishulei Nochri, so I just like to speak about it. I gave several shiurim about it in Clanton Park Shul. So because of that, the poskim are more lenient about microwaves. If a goy is cooking using the microwave, so in that case it'll be okay, because microwaves are not considered to be esh. It's not considered to be fire. And because of that, if he cooks in the microwave, it's like ishun, it's like smoking, it's not a shinui enough. So in that case it'll be okay. There was a very big debate in Yerushalayim 2 years ago, when the chief rabbinate of Yerushalayim took away the hechsher of a coffee shop that had induction stovetops. The way that induction works, usually, if the chef of the restaurant is a goy, so the mashgiach kashrut always comes and lights the fire beforehand, and that'll be enough in order to call to consider this bishul yehudi and be okay. But when it is in induction stovetops, it doesn't help, because you turn it on, there's no heat that is generated from the stovetop. Only when you place the pot on the stovetop, it starts to generate heat. And if the cook, which is not Jew, puts on the pot, only then it starts to generate heat. So in that case, the Jew didn't do anything when he turned it on. So there was a place that they had induction stovetops, and because of that, the workers were not Jewish, so they took away the kashrus. The chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Aryeh Shtern, so he said that induction might be like microwaves, and it's not considered to be cooking by fire. So because of that, he says it could be make when the stove top is in induction, and the goy uses it. It's induction in general, I think it's not only my opinion, I think it's also the OU's opinion. It's different than microwaves, because microwaves, it's really no fire. But induction stovetops, the pot becomes heated, and according to the laws of Shabbos, when you heat up a gechelet, a piece of metal, so it's considered mavir. According to the Rambam, it's considered to be the malacha of mavir. It's like you're igniting fire. So this is, sorry? Deoraisa is the deoraisa provision of fire. So if you're heating up the pot of induction, so in that case it's like fire. If it's fire, there is a problem of bishulei nochi. So because of that, I assume that the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim took away the hechsher, and was it after Rav Shtern retired, I think. So I think they didn't change it because of his psak. Anyway, so again, we saw here that there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfot, what is the damages that is caused by the shop, which is under the otsar, if it's the smoke, or is it the heat? And it also says that smoked wine is not a good wine, it's ishtane legreuta, it is changed to become a less of a quality wine, as opposed to the Ramban, who says, no, it's terrific, it's very good. The only problem with the Sachim is because it just changed, but it's very good, and it becomes better. This, of course, has a nafkamina also for Hilchos Shabbos. And we see in source number 10, the Bir Halacha brings the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who says, can you do Kiddush on smoked wine? Yain Meushan, Ayin Chidushei Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says in source number 10, Diredat HaTosfot Pasul, Mishum Deishtani Legriuta. As we said, smoked wine becomes a less of a quality wine. 1 second, and the Ramban says kasher kmo mevushal, because it becomes better wine. It's only changed, but it's still a better quality wine. Yes, Ravidan.
Looking at one of the websites discussing about good wine and bad wine, they're discussing about there is a very specific shita in Eretz Yisrael that you burn the barrel before you put the wine inside, so some of the smoke and the chemicals from the burned barrel will come into the wine, and it makes it much more better and with a better quality. And it's a much more expensive wine than the regular. So maybe it's nishtane, but maybe it's not for the.
No, so this is a raya for the Ramban. That's nishtane. It could be different, maybe, but it is. It is a better quality wine, and because of that, the Gemara says that shema shibicho. It still might be possible for Nesachim, but that is okay. Okay, so now let's carry on into the sugya and see how the Rishonim explained the terrors of the Gemara Dirashani. I will just like in source 11 to introduce you a question that was in the test of the chief rabbinate of the Dayanus test. It wasn't in my time; it was before my time. This question. And this question relates to this sugya, and we'll see, and we'll try to answer this question. This is one of, out of 18 questions that are given in the tests of the chief rabbinate. So, question 11. Adam sachar chadarim letzorech misrad bebinyan rav komot. A person rented a few rooms in a building, and he wanted to open their offices. Vitkin sham arachot machshivim im itkan kirur. And so he placed in his office many computers, and I guess in order to cool off the computers, I'm not much of a computer guy, so I don't really understand, but I guess you have to also put in some kind of ventilation, something that would... You have to have it cooling down. And for some reason, this cooling could affect the neighbors on top and the bottom. לאחר כמה שנים, a few years, בא אחר, ושכר חדרים מלמטה. הוא פתח חנות של חפצים, and he opened this store, which he is selling all kinds of objects. והקור גרם להפסדים. And the cooling of the server room, yeah, somehow damaged those things that he had in that store. ותובע את העליון, and he's תובע, the one who was above him, לסגור את הקירור, turn off the server room. וחל השם עבור הנזק, האם צודק בטענותיו? Is he right with his טענות? What do you think, just before we see the sugya, what do you think?
He was there first.
So it's posh, you're saying. He was there first, and then I guess, of course, it'll be okay. Right? As it seems here. אם הייתה רפת בקר קודמת לאוצר, מותר. If you open it before him, it'll be okay. We'll see. We'll see if it's that simple. One of the avreichim here said, yeah, it's simple. Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, kadam. Okay, that's it. Not that simple. So, again, the Gemara in source number 2 asked, according to Rava, you say that you're not allowed to put something that might damage in the future. So how is it that you're allowed to put the store of the Nachtomim and Tzavaim before the Otsar of your friend? He says, Dira Shani. Dira Shani, a place you live is different. What does it mean, Dira Shani? There are two approaches in the Rishonim, Rashi Shita, and those who go with him, and the Rimigash. And I didn't see people who go with him, but Tari Migash. Rashi says in source number 12, Dira Shani, what is the difference? Chanut ורפת בקר, דירתם של אדם הם. ואין לנו לאסור דירתו עליו, אלא אם כן היזק מוכן. There's something special regarding a person's dira, the place where he lives. And we cannot prevent you doing things in your dira, in your apartment, that saying that it might harm in the future. And if there's no damage now present, you could do in your dira almost whatever you want. That's what Rashi says. Why? What is special about the person's dira? So we'll see in source 13, the Ritva says that there's something special with the chanut inside the dira, the store inside the dira. He says, כאילו שחנות זה הוא דבר שאתם צריך לעשות בדירתו. For some reason, it's better to keep your shop inside your dira, your apartment, ושם נאות לו יותר לשמור כליו, אין לנו לומר שמנע מפני ההזק העתיד לבוא היום ומחר לחברו, כיוון שאין זרקן, לפיכך כילי כאוצר, סומך. So he says that since, for some reason, it's always more comfortable, better to have your shop inside your house, so listen, this is the perfect place to keep a shop. So I cannot lose my rights to have a shop in my apartment, which is very, very good to have a shop in your apartment for some reason. And because of that, I shouldn't, because of some kind of future damage that might come, I shouldn't stop keeping here my things. This is the Ritva. The Rashba says in source 14, in the last three lines, אלא הכי פירושו, דירה של תחתון שני, דכיוון שאתם עשוי לעשות בדירתו לפעמים חנות של נחתומים ושל צבעים, אינם להכניס בדירתו רפת בקר, אין מונעים ממנו שאין לאסור דירתו עליו. He says something much more general, and he says, in כללי, this is your house. You're the master of your house. This is your house. This place is under your authority. You're the person who decides what to do in your house. And a person has to have a very, very good claim to somehow prevent you from doing things inside your house. In your house, you could do whatever you want. This is your house. And it's very hard to lesol dirato alav, to somehow prevent you from doing things inside your house. So I think there's a small enough kamina between the Ritva and the Rashba. Ravidan asked me this week, let's say that you have, here's the apartment, and here is the otsar. So there's a certain area of your apartment which is not under the otsar. Can I tell you, listen, take this, things, let's say I already have the shop. And now the person there above me saying, listen, move it to the other side of your apartment, which is not under my house, which will not affect me. Yeah, the question is clear. So I think according to the Ritva, the reason why I'm allowed to keep these things inside my house, because this is the most comfortable place to have these things, yeah, put it away. I'm not taking away your right to have things in your house, and right, it's very comfortable to have these things in your shop inside your house, but just put it aside without damaging. But according to the Rashba, Not sure. Maybe I could say, listen, this is my house. I like this over here. In my house, I can do whatever I want. It's not only the logic that the chanut is nicer and more comfortable over here. The thing is, this is my house. And in my house, I do whatever I want. You have to have a very good reason to tell me to put things away. Even if there's another place that you think will be better for you. No, this is my house. I think this might be a nafkamina between the Ritva and the Rashba. Okay? But again, the reason why Dira Shani, because this is my house, and you cannot tell him what to do in my house. The Rimigash has a totally different approach. A totally different approach. Dira Shani, it's not the rights that you have in your house, it's something else entirely. Says the Rimigash, Dira Shani Klomar, in source 15, Lo Avid Inish de Avid Bei Dirato Otsar. The reason why Adira Shani, and you're allowed to open the shop under the person's otsar, is because you are opening the shop under the dira, under the apartment of your friend. And why should someone on earth make his apartment to an otsar? Why should he change the purpose of his house to something so far-fetched like an otsar of yain and oil and why should you expect him to do such a thing? It's so unnatural thing to do. You should not, so because of that, you're allowed to put there your shop because it's so hard to believe that in the future they'll be here in otsar. Because of that, it will be okay to put now the shop. Okay? So the dira shani is not concerning the dira of the mazik. It's not concerning the house of the person who is damaging, but it's concerning the house of the person who is being damaged. Because why should we think the person will change his mind and turn his apartment into an otsar? And he asked the question upon himself. The Gemara says, when Rava says that you're not allowed to put a pit close to the Meitzar, the border of your neighbor, it's also concerning, according to one Lishna, it's also concerning a field that you're not expecting him to do their pits. So also here, you're not expecting a person to have an osar in his apartment. What is the difference? Still, according to Rava, you cannot do that. He says, no, it's even more far-fetched. Lo dami, v'ilu sadeh, afagav deinas v'ale borot, avid inish demimlach, v'avid borot. You could still find some cases that people change their mind and decide to have pits inside their field. Avalha, in the case of turning your house into an otsar, amarinan de lo avid inish david mipita to otsar. So it's so hard to believe that he'll change the purpose of his dira, of his apartment. So because of that, it will be okay. It's even less to believe that he will change his mind regarding a sadeh shenasa borot, a field which shouldn't have pits. He might change his mind. Here, I don't believe that he will change his mind. It's so hard to believe. This is the Rimigash, and not discussing at all the idea of the person who's damaging that this is his dira. The Rishonim asked two questions against the Rimigash, both the Ritva and the Rashba. The Rashba brings two questions. He brings the Rimigash in source 14. So he asked him two questions. In the third line. Why enonire? Why I don't accept the pshat of the Rimigash? Chada, if you read the Yerushalmi carefully, you'll see that you shouldn't open a chanut under the otsar of your friend, and kol sheken under the dira of your friend. If you're saying that we're dealing here with a person who's opening under the dira, the Yerushalmi says explicitly that under the apartment of your friend, of course it will damage. Let's say you don't have the otsar. You cannot open those things under the dira. Thanks to Rav Daniel. I saw that this question is not such a great question. Only the way the Rashba learns that Yerushalmi, I won't get into it, only the way he learns the Yerushalmi, it is Akashya. But if you read the Yerushalmi, the Pshat of the Yerushalmi makes perfect sense, also according to the Rimigash. And even several commentators say, exactly like the Rimigash there, and not like the Rashba. So thank you, Rav Daniel. So the first question is not such a great question against the Rimigash. From the Yerushalmi, because you could easily understand the Yerushalmi differently. Mamish easily. It even sounds much more reasonable like the Rimigash and not like the Rashbo. And he gives another question. Ve'od, da'afilu nimlach, ve'itchil v'tikune otzar, I'm in the fifth line from the beginning in source 14. Ve'od, da'afilu nimlach, ve'itchil v'tikune otzar, iba'el an lekaman. There is a Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Kaf. It's in source 16. That we said that you're not allowed to open, as we said, you're not allowed to open the shop of the Nachtomim, of the Tzabaim, if there is a Tzar above you. The Gemara asks, let's say that the Tzar is not there yet. But, Baya Baye, Kibed Veribet Tzar Mau. Let's say you already see the preparations for the Tzar which is going to come. You see him starting to clean. You see him starting to make things nicer. Riba b'chalonot. He's adding windows on his level because he's going to now build an otzar. You see clearly that he's going to do these things. V'na'al yage b'bito ma'u teku. So the verse says that regarding if you see that he's doing all kinds of preparations to bring the otzar into his house, can you still open your chanut nachtomim under it? Teku. It's a suffix. Ask the Rashbo, according to the Rimigash, why teku? The Rimigash says that Dir Hashani is that I'm allowed to open my shop of Nachtomim, my shop of Tzabaim, because why in the world would he open Otzar? I shouldn't even expect him to open an Otzar. But here the Gemara says, you see, he has clear intentions to open an Otzar. He's now starting to clean the place. He's now starting to do all kind of things, all kind of preparations. If you see very well that he's going to do these things, So in that case, why should be teku? The commercial said, okay, now you know very well he's going to do this. So in that case, it'll be mutar. It'll be usur. Asked the Rashbo. Can the fruit in love to sari balan kaman? You have a kyotsar kodem okay what could emit. Can. So because of that, he says the pshat is like Rashi, and he dismisses the pshat of the Rimigash. It's a very good kasha. But also the ktsois in source 17, addresses his kashya. Yes, Rabbi Dan.
I would ask again what I asked him this week. So say your tzav shabbat, not
shabbat. Okay, another good point. That, so if the thing is that I should expect you to do notzar, the Gemara should have said, otzar shani. I hear. A third kashya in the Rimigash. Kesher of Ravidan, that if you're saying that the difference here is not the dira, it's the otzar, that why should I expect that otzar should come? You should say, otzar shani, not dira shani. Could be that is the question. I think it could make also some sense saying dira shani, because why should I think that dira should become an otzar? But, okay, I hear.
If it's not otzar, tell me that you would make
it. I hear. Yeah.
So would the teku be hinging on whether the nezek is considered mukhan or not when the guy's preparing? That if it's considered mukhan, then you wouldn't be allowed to do it. It's not considered mukhan.
I think that's the explanation of the Gemara there. That once he's starting to do all these things, is this considered to be that he already has his otzar open before the chadud? It's like a contest. Who'll get there first? So the Gemara is asking, if he does these things, is he considered to be there first? Yeah. I think that's the pshat. So again, there are two shitot rishonim how to explain dirashani. Rashi says that the person who damages in his house, he can do whatever he wants. So in that case, you have to have a very good reason to prevent him from doing things. So because that dirashani, the Rimigash says, no, dirashani, why should I on earth think that he's going to do these things? And then there's a very good question. Why on earth? The Gemara says that you see people cleaning their house, opening windows. You see the intentions of opening their notzal. So how can you explain that? So the Ktsos says in Surah 17, he says, he's asking the question from the Gemara in Babat Daf Kaf, and he gives a very simple answer. V'nire, all this sugya is according again to Rava, who says that person is not allowed to put something that might damage in the future. But here, Kevach Nehanach Kulabai, who's asking the question? Who's asking the question? Kibbe Derebet Smau, Abaye Hude Baile. And according to Abaye, afilu besadeh asuya leborot, mutar lismoch. Kevan dekati leitem davar anizak. According to Abaye, even if you're allowed to put a pit close to the field of your friend, even if you know that this is a field that might have pits in the future, it's a suyal borot. It's designated for borot. Maybe, says Abaye, that so Abaye allows this. The question is, as long as there isn't something which is now being damaged, you're allowed to put things. So the question is only according to Abaye, not according to Rava. So only according to Abaye are these questions. Once he starts to do all these things, to put the windows and clean the place, is this already considered that the thing that is being damaged is already there? This is the Sofek! And the Sofek is only according to Abaye. And he gives another proof. It's all those sfeikos of kibed, ribetz, all those things, the Rif erases it. He doesn't even bring it. משום דנן קיים עלן כדרבה דאמר אינו סומך אפילו ליתה לדבר הנזק. Because we are passing like Rava, the Rif doesn't bring all these speakers, and all these speakers are according to Abaye, so you can't ask from that Gemara on the Rivigash, says the Ksos. Very nice answer. Leshitosa, you cannot ask from there. So he explains, so in that case, there aren't questions on the Rimigash. Hirushami could be explained differently, as Reb Daniel mentioned to me, and there's no question from the Gemara, Daf Kaf, as the Ketzor says, because those questions are according only Abaye, and we are dealing with the Shita of Rava. So again, I'll just go back to the question that I opened, the question from the Dayanis. So a person who rents those rooms, and he has the computers with a server room that is damaging other floors. I'm asking you now, when someone is now coming and opening there his office, does the person have to take away the server room or not? What do you say? Again, according to Rashi, Dirashani means the person who is damaging can do whatever he wants, because this is his place. You can't take away his things. According to Rimigash, Dirashani means of the place which is being harmed. Why should I even think that this place would become something that should be harmed? So I think the answer should be, according to Rashi, you got this office, you got this place, so this is like your dira. You're allowed to do there in your office whatever you want. So you're allowed to keep, so as long as you got there first, you're allowed to keep there your offices, although it might affect people in the future. But according to the Rimigash, Dirashani means, why should I even think that I might harm people in the future? Because there shouldn't be an Otsal there in the future. If this is a building that has room to rent out, so yes, it could very much be possible that in the future someone bring there his objects, his stuff, his chafetzim, open there another shop, and it could be damaged. So this question is an afkamina between Rimigash and Rashi. Okay? Is everything clear? Any questions in the meantime?
The rush that I brought in the first shiur that we had seems to follow all things. Meaning, when the rush talked about the issue of the fellow who had the boar, and the boar overflowed into the neighbor's property. So on the one hand, one of his points that he brought was this issue of the neighbor being entitled to use his property in certain. Right? It's the opposite of this case, because the other neighbor is entitled. That's not a case where the neighbor is not entitled. The neighbor is entitled to use the property. And he also brought the issue of you being entitled to use your property this way. He has both the shittos of Rashi and
mm-hmm. You always have to find the balance. And he says you always have to find the balance of light, of good shcheinim. As you said,
back to the question of shcheinim versus nizikim.
Absolutely. And I think that's the fundamental definition all the time. How do people, can people live a normal way and either person is not bothering the other person? Huh? Okay. So, yes, Rabbi Dan.
Did you understand that Rashi would say that no one needs to take off the server?
According to Rashi, he doesn't need to take off the server.
Why not?
Because Rashi says that in your apartment, you can do whatever you want. So once you're first, you're okay. So you now rented space in a very normal way to have inside a building computers, and you have to have a server room. It's perfectly normal. So it's normal to have these things. According to Rabbi Gashes, yeah. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be the place to live. It's the normal thing to do in that space. It's very normal to have in offices computers and also a room that could cool down those computers.
This is not just a computer. A server room is not just, you know, your office computers.
Is it something exceptional? We're dealing here with a building that is for offices, a full building. So you can't put in a huge building, can't put there a room for computers and servers. I find it hard to believe. It's a normal thing to do.
If they're mining Bitcoin, yes.
Mining Bitcoin.
No, Rabbi, don't you really mind that the army we had at the 1/4, we had a server room, but that's a problem. But again, I don't understand what Rashi's talking about specifically a place you live in.
I hear you're saying that it's not the same because this is a dira and this is a misrad. This is an apartment and this is an office. But I think again the idea is you could do whatever is normal to do in your living place. Of course according to the Ritva. The Ritva says that this is the comfortable place to put these things. The most comfortable place to put computers is in an office building. The most comfortable place to do it. Of course according to the Ritva. And I think also according to the Rashba. Okay, we have only 19 minutes left, so I want to now address that this idea of Rashi saying that a person could do in his house whatever he wants to do, because this is your house, and you could live a normal life in your house, so it has numerous, this idea repeats itself in the course of learning Hilchos Shcheinim. I give a few examples. Let's start with the Rivash in source 20. And the most important thing is the Chazonish, in source 22. The Rivash says, he gives a story, וכן תנה שלישית, שטען רובן פני חול אשתו, שמזיק לה בראשה, גם זאת תנה גדולה. רובן told his neighbor, Shimon, now listen, you're doing so much noise, and the noise is harming my wife's head, she's having a headache, she's having a migraine, and it's harming me. And the Rivash says, it's a good time. A person could come and say, it's a good time that the noise that's coming from your house is harming me. And it says, although, the Mishnah explicitly says that if someone is now banging inside the apartment and they're now creating tools, the neighbors can say, listen, you're bothering me because this is the way I'm living my life. So you see that noise, it's not a problem. So how is it that this is a good taina? He says, this person is a sick person, and we know that she's sick. Ein lecha giri gadol mezeh. This is definitely giri delay. It's like throwing arrows from your reshut. The noise is so harmful to her. It's harming her so much. And of course, since it's harming her so much, because of that, he says, you could tell them to be quiet and not do the noise in your house. I won't get into the entire idea of the Rivash, but what he's saying is also paskin to halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says in source 21, "V'yesh umrin l'kumen shosed v'chanuto b'ito afilu lechatchila enan yechum imchot." That person can do in his house things, although it makes noise to the neighbors. But the Rama says, "Davka bnei adam brim, aval im em cholim v'akol mazik lehem yecholim imchot." Only when the neighbors are healthy. But if the neighbors are sick, and it's for sure that the noise are physically harming them, so they're allowed to say, "Keep quiet." It's physically harming. Yeah.
Can you say that sleeping is like?
So the police can say that today sleeping is so important. Yes, it's like a cholim. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan says, I'm not sure, that today all of us are considered cholim minyan shina. We're all considered unhealthy people because we all need to sleep. It's very, very important to sleep. So every time that the neighbor is making noise and we can't fall asleep, you can knock on the door and you say, you're damaging me, you're harming me. That is according to the Reivash, which is brought in the Ramah. But the Chazonish says something extremely, extremely important. And it's like the Rashi that we just learned. The Chazonish says, Nire, in source 22. It's a very fundamental Chazonish, so much fundamental. Rabbi Dan also saw it mentioned in the site of Aguda Letarbut HaDiur. How do you translate Aguda Letarbut HaDiur? The society of well-cultured neighbor living. Something like that. I mean, it's something that is to make sure that the neighbors are treating each other properly. So, the Chazonish says something extremely important. He says in source 22, Nire de ein divrei Rivash, ela v'oseh davar she'eino ikar adira. The Rivash is talking about noise that is projected from your house only when it's something which is not meikarei adira. It's something not normal to be in a person's house. Making instruments, doing all these things in your house, it's not the normal way of people living. And only that time you should consider it to your neighbor who might be under the weather, who's chole. Kigon shase bariga, you're now sewing with a machine. Listen, your house is not a factory. This is something unnatural. She'ein ze matzui b'chol adam, ve'lo b'rov b'nei adam. It's not something which is normal. Aval im hu oseh dvarim sherov b'nei adam osim, ולפעמים תשמישן ודיבורה משמיע קול שמפריע את החולה, אינו יכול למחות, אף אם החולה קדם. But if the person is doing normal things in his household, things which are normal, he's talking, and this is a normal thing to do in your house, you're allowed to talk in your house, even if your neighbor is sick. And even if he came there before you, he cannot be moche, he cannot protest, he cannot knock on your door and come say, please keep quiet, because I'm allowed to do in my house whatever I want to do. ורשאי אדם לבנות בית אצל חברו, you're allowed to build a house near your friend, ולהכניס את העוללים ויונקים שצועקים בלילה, and you're allowed to bring in your children that wake up in the middle of the night and they're crying, and you have to wake up in the middle of the night for them. ואין החולה יכול לעכב עליו, דהרי אינו חייב לצאת מדירתו. A person can do in his house whatever he wants. He can live in the normal way in his house. You're allowed to talk, and you're allowed to have babies in your house, to have children in your house, and although they're making noise, it is okay, because in your house, you could do whatever you want. Almost whatever you want. But you could do the normal things that people do in a house. If you're having something exceptionally noisy, you're having a huge sewing machine, people don't need to have this in their house. You have business, go to work someplace else. But to live in your house, you could live a normal way, even if it bothers your neighbors. So I brought here some nafkaminas in source 23, 24 from the Chashuki Chemed. These are questions that all the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael get, but I just found it easily on Poteshut, Rav Zilberstein. And he says, Chole, שילדי השכנים משחקים בחצר ומרישים, מפריעים לו. האם יכול לדרוש שלא ישחקו בחצר? There's a person who is ill in the household, in the building, and the neighbors and kids are playing inside their yard. I'm not really sure if this is the yard that belongs to everyone, or is their private house yard, but they're making noise, the kids. Can he say, kids, stop playing in your house, you're bothering me. Says, Chashuki Chemed, he says, אולי לפי מה שכתב החזוניש, שאם עושה דברים שרוב בני אדם עושים, ולפעמים תשמישה מדיבורה משמיע קול שמפריע את החולה, אין לא יכול למחות. אף אם החולה קדם, יש לעיין. האם ישחק ילדים בחצר, חשיב כעיקר גדול בבית, שרוב בני אדם עושים כן, או אולי אפשר גם להסתדר בלעדיו, ולשמור את ילדים בבית. So he says, we have to see if playing in the yard is a normal thing to do. If you ask me, definitely it is. Of course, kids play. Kids can play in their yard, play ball, and play tag, and run around, and make noise. These are kids. Kids will be kids. ומקום מקום, אף אם נאמר שאין השכן יכול לדרוש מלדי השכן שלא ישחקו בחצר למרות שהרעש מפריע לו, מקום מקום ראוי לחנך את הילדים, שאם יש חולה בבניין, יש להתחשב עמו, וידיקו מקום משחקה במקום אחר, או שלא ישחקו. So even though that the עיקר הדין, the halacha is, that you're allowed to play in your yard, because you're allowed to do in your house whatever you want to do, still be considerate, let's educate our children to be considerate to the neighbor, listen, he doesn't feel well, you have to be considerate, you have to be nice to them, and then ask them maybe to play elsewhere or not to play at all. But the halacha is, strictly speaking, it is okay. It is okay because you're doing normal things inside your house. Another example that the Chashuki Chemed brings, a person who's showering in the middle of the night, in source 24, אדם מתקלח באמצע הלילה, וטוען השכן התחתון שמקלחת מהירה אותו. He hears the spritzing of the water, and it bothers him, why are you taking a shower so late at night? Please, take your shower at 6 in the afternoon. כיוון שצינור המים עובר דרך דירתו, האם יכול למנוע אותו מתקלח באמצע הלילה? So he says, גם בענייננו, אדם רשאי להתקלח בכל עת שירצה, וקשה לאסור עליו מקלחת הנחוצה לאנשים, גם משעות הלילה. Yes, there are certain people that need to take a shower, also in the middle of the night, for whatever reason it is. בימים החמים, אך יש, וזה נדע חסידות, למנהל אם אפשר, וקיים בזה מצד הבעד אחד כמוך. Again, עיקר הדין, the normal thing to do, is to take a shower, and you're allowed to take a shower in your apartment. It bothers your neighbor, this is the normal way that people live, and it is okay. Of course, be considerate, try to find some kind of compromise, but this is the Ikar Halacha. So in my opinion, that would be the same thing also regarding the alarm clock with Idan. Do you agree with me or not? I mean, is it normal to have an alarm clock in your house at 5 a.m.? It's definitely normal to have an alarm clock. It is normal, but maybe it's not normal to have it at 5 a.m. I don't see this chiluk. If it's normal things to do in your household, it's okay. That's what I think. It's not pleasant, and it's very, very annoying. And of course, maybe he has to be considerate. Maybe he has to buy the vibrating alarm clocks. Sorry?
I mean, a lot of places have laws against making noise after a certain hour.
Noise. What kind of noise? What kind of noise? Am I not...
I think you're making a normal conversational volume. Your house is fine, but like, there's a loud enough alarm that the person probably, like...
Alarm clock doesn't have to be this alarm of... Litvok schnitzelim. Could be. Yes, it's a normal thing to do, to ban the schnitzels. It's a normal thing to do. It's not nice. Again, it's not nice, and you have to be considerate. But I'm allowed. Last night, my wife made Shabbos meal very late in the night. And she called her grandparents in Israel very late in the night. And so, Baruch Hashem, we have distance from our neighbors. But let's say she was making noise. She was talking and preparing the food. He said, listen, this is not the proper time. Sorry, this is the most convenient time for me to make a Shabbos meal. Another question that I brought it in Sukkot in the Kanda Park Shul, which is very, very weird to me, but the question, Sha'alti l'Rabbeinu, I'm not sure who the Rabbeinu is. She'esh mishpacha, she'echad mose rash, b'sha'a she'yashin, snoring, uvnei ha'bayit mufra'im imeno. The people are disturbed from his noise. B'sha'a she'yashinim ito v'suka, v'inayim yochim lishon, v'nasa v'kuach b'neim mi latze v'suka. There's one person who's snoring, and he's disturbing all his family. What should he do? Amar Rabbeinu, b'dei masar matan, d'tilu b'sheila, al mi l'achik t'atzmo, al ha-mazik ol ha-nizak, v'hacha ha-vigiri delay, af ha-biyodosim odeh, ha-mazik l'achik t'atzmo. He says, this is something which is like shooting arrows, so he should stop. I don't know who wrote this, I think it's not true. As you just saw, doing normal things in your house that could damage others, but if it's normal things that you do, person is snoring. Look, he shouldn't sleep. What should he do? This is not considered to be gira delay, in my opinion. Sorry? Can't do. So in that case, the Rebbe started. They should go. That's my opinion. Exactly, absolutely. Absolutely. Rav Asher Weiss said that all Gadol Ador say that the person who's snoring can stay, and all the people could go back inside, because mitzvah p'tum ha-sukkah, and he thinks differently. That's what he said. Kol Gdol Adol, but I think differently. Okay. He's also one of the Gdol Adol. That's a different issue. This is regarding noise. What about smoke? So, can a person smoke in his apartment? Can a person do a barbecue in his yard? And he has neighbors above him. In my parents' building, every time that they used to do a barbecue, they used to knock on the door of the neighbor on top of us. And to tell them, listen, we're doing a barbecue, please close the windows if you don't want things to come in. And that was always very nice and okay. I didn't do that in my apartment. I didn't learn from my parents, not the Seder. But is there a problem or not? So since we're a bit limited in time, so I'll just go immediately to the Rashbo. The Rashbo says in Source 28, Shelat Roven, Haita lo aruba begago, he had a chimney. The other time he opened the fire, so the smoke went out. And the roof of Shimon wasn't harmed by it for some kind of reason, because it was the same level. For 30 years, that's the way it was. And then Shimon passed away, and Shimon, they add another floor to his house, and now the smoke is starting to damage them. And then they're saying, the son of Shimon saying, listen, now your smoke is harming us, please go elsewhere. So the answer is, Ein bnei Shimon yochulim la'akev al Reuven nekama ta'amim, ve'od, although that the Gemara says that Ashan smoke, if it's very exceptional smoke, it's Tzara Nachtomim, sorry, not Nachtomim, Shulchan Aruch says, It is a shan shel kivshonot, of furnaces, of nachtomim, shel yotzrim. That, of course, it is a nezek. The only smoke that you can prevent if it's very massive smoke and it's very common, it's very frequently. If this is a smoke that comes from a house of a regular person, of a regular balibos, of course you cannot be moche. It's extremely necessary for you to live your normal house, your normal life in your house, and you're allowed to cook in your house. So because of the smoke coming out by cooking, this is a normal thing. This is a normal thing, and you cannot prevent someone from his normal smoke. Also, the Rama says, that there's Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Rama in source 25, I won't get into it, that of course there's no chazaka when there's a massive smoke, but when there's a bit of smoke, can you, so of course it is okay, but can you lechatchila tell him, excuse me, stop with this smoke that's coming from you, even if it's a small smoke, it's not so common, it's not tadir. Shulchan Aruch says, you can be moche. The Rama says, afilu lechatchila lo yechol limchot. You cannot prevent me from having regular smoke in my apartment. This is a normal smoke, regular smoke. You cannot prevent me from having this smoke coming from my property, because this is my normal way of using my property. The poskim, the Shach, the Kvigil, the Nesivis are in debate where the halacha is like the Rama or like the Shulchan Aruch. But again, we see from here the idea that when something is a normal way of living, so it is okay, and you cannot prevent me from living normally in my house, even when it disturbs you. Of course, according to the Rama, that says when the smoke is not frequently, it's not tadir, you cannot tell me to stop having smoke coming from my house. So regarding smoking in your yard, I think that, of course, it's unhealthy to smoke anytime. And Rav Moshe Weiss says that if you're allowed to smoke, you can smoke also on Shabbos. Because smoking is asur. B'nishmat emor nefesh shotechem. Why are you smoking? Because you're anus? You're forced by your yetzer hara? You have this kind of onus which is forcing you to do so? Maybe that onus is also on Shabbos. Because you cannot smoke any day. Okay. But I think that if a person smokes in his property, it's a way that people live in their house. And definitely with barbecuing. And in source 29, I brought what Rav Yudan sent me from Agudat Tabuta Diyur. Haim achok oser mangal mirpeset. What does the law say about having a barbecue in your mirpeset, your balcony? So the answer, Ein isur b'chok al tzliat basar mirpeset habayit. Mutar lasot mangal mirpeset shel dira bebayit meshutaf. Zeh chuki, v'lo nitan limnoa zot. There's no law preventing a person having a barbecue in his balcony. It's a very nice thing to warn your neighbor or maybe ask for permission. And maybe you can also change it with some kind of takanon, with some kind of guidelines. Only several days, only in certain times. But in general, you're allowed to do that. Barbecuing is a normal thing to do in your household. That's my approach. I'm sure that other people might say differently. But I think that according to these sources, this is what you should say regarding barbecuing and smoking. A final example that I brought is in source 30, Shut Mar Shach, Rabshon HaKoyim Vilna. So he discusses also when this thing that you're doing in your household is something which is very important for the economy of that city. I don't know exactly what was their trade at the time, but people say that I'll read it out. He brought in some kind of gigiot, these small tubs of something. I don't know what it is, but they used to do something with that. I'll tell you what I usually say briefly to people who ask me. ומה שגלתי לומרו, בוודאי להבדינה ולהבדיינה, נזק ריח הגיגיות, הבי נזק גדול. Definitely, these gigiot, these baths that are doing something, I don't know if he's doing whiskey or doing something else, of course, it generates a very bad odor, a very bad smell. That's for sure. This thing is like having a smell of smoke or smell of a bet kiseh, of this huge bathroom. Ain't no chazaka. These things are damaging. You can never have a chazaka. Ach umnam, yan ki inyan asiyat ha-bgadim, hu michiyat bnei ha'ir. Sorry, I guess they're dyeing clothes clothes inside these kind of baths. So the clothes industry is the parnasa of Me'ir. Yesh l'shchinim yisbol nezek zeh ve'ein ra'u limchot bo. So I'll finish it here. But you see again, this is something which is very important for the parnasa, the michya of Me'ir. So you have to be considerate, because this is something which is part of the way that people live in that certain place. And although it could also damage other people, but you have to be considerate and allow people to live a normal life inside their house. I'll finish it here. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody.